Economic Development Department, as well as Energy Department and Mineral Resources. We will do a round of introduction very quickly. Just your name, your surname, which entity, which department, which captain of industry you are, the ID number and date of birth, origin or country of origin we can leave for a later stage. Status, married, divorced, single, available, that we can also leave for a later stage. My name is Freddie Adams. I'm a permanent delegate from the Western Cape and also the chairperson of the committee. Let me start from my right.
Good afternoon, Kenneth Sinclair, Northern Cape.
Afternoon, Aaron Ngudi, Free State.
Carl Hamsays, Kaya Gas.
George Tatum, Kaya Gas.
Gareth Besednik, Ministry of Energy, Northern Cape. Has the Ministry of Energy moved from Pretoria to the Northern Cape?
I'm James Byrne from Chevron.
Eugene Ricketts from Chevron.
John Pfeiffer from PetroZ.
Abrams,
Gauteng,
permanent delegate.
John Gunda, Northern Cape, permanent delegate.
Edzi Khoza from FEDASA.
Kaiser Nzumba from PetroSaint.
Charles Seven from NASA.
Esther Bullion from NASA.
Mike said engine.
Shibishi Maruadona, I am with General Motors, but here representing the National Association of Automobile of South Africa, NAMSA.
Keith Weeks from the Competition Commission. Tembi Ngosibona Kele, Competition Commission.
Mavuso Zingisa, Department of Energy.
Ushibana, Department of Energy.
Muzukize, Department of Energy.
Sidiso Makwela, Department of Energy.
George Mugoni, Department of Energy.
Karam Kwanazi, Department of Energy.
Chibizira Mwizisi, Department of Energy.
Lloyd Tata, Department of Energy.
Makoli Lezwane, PetroSA.
What is Kato PetroSA?
Okay, thank you very much. Now we know who's who, so that we don't read or hear or see tomorrow or which other day that an informed source or a reliable source or what source, booster source or tomato source has said that and that. meeting because of what is happening in terms of in the energy sector, in terms of the LPG, and in terms of the liquid fuels, the jet fuel specifically. We've heard the statement of the minister, and we've seen the statements of the industry and captains of industry. But that is not enough, because it seems to me it is a problem that just starts to escalate this time of the year. Last year it was the same problem in terms of the jet fuel and that. And people are getting worried out there, and it's got a massive impact on the economy of what is happening. Restaurants are closing, people are losing business, and it is not in line with the objectives and the key performance what has been visioned and set out by this parliament. So that's why we have called this briefing and hearing, so that we can know from you, a year from you, what is the way forward, how you will solve this problem, time frames put to it, and that it it doesn't happen again. If it happens, that there is measures in place not to alarm the business, alarm the world, but that there's proper measures in place, that there is sufficient supply, because a lot of people are dependent on this LPG for cooking, operating businesses, the hospitality sector, as well as the medical industry, everybody, automotive industry, jobs are dependent on this. If we want to create business people, we can't, because they have to close down their restaurants and suffer a lot of a big amount of inconvenience in terms of financial loss, job loss. So thank you for honoring the invitation and to come and give us a clear indication of what is going to happen in the industry and how we can resolve as partners the problems that lies ahead and the crisis that we are in now. I will now start with the Department of Energy. As you could see on the program, we have the responses by the Department of Energy from the previous meeting that was held yesterday. Now, I know that these responses are not going to, as in, it's not relevant to what we are about yet. So I've conferred with the committee and with our discipline whip, acting discipline whip today, Mr. Sinclair, and we have agreed that Baba Mguni, your department can give us the answers in writing, the responses, and that we start with also with energy on the LPG issues, so that we can have more time on what people are here for, and to give more time on that. There is an agreement, Honorable Sinclair, that Mr. Mguni said that he will definitely see, even if they have to come to the Northern Cape and bring you the or use Mr. Gareth Poseidon to bring you the answers, they will do that. Even if they have to send Gareth Poseidon overnight with a courier, you'll see that you get the answers. Honorable Sinclair? You want the solar park, but there's one in Upington, okay. So, but you want it further in the Northern Cape. Mr. Mguni, you have the request, so he doesn't want a lot, he just wants the solar parks to be in Upington. The Department of Energy, or is there anyone that that has got some issues around in our agenda? Everyone in agreement? Good. Don't look so serious, man. Relax. Don't look so serious. We're not going to crucify you. We just want answers. We just want solutions. And if I look around the room, I see there's a lot of people with solutions and answers. So we'll get to a solution when we get out of here. DDG Makubela, are you and your team ready? Over to you, sir.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good afternoon to everyone, particularly the members of the Select Committee. Once again, thanks for the opportunity, Chairperson, to appear it as an energy carrier that actually can lower the burden or relieve the burden on electricity demand in the country. And therefore, we believe it is important that all the players in the industry realize the importance of this energy carrier. Secondly, Chairperson, it is more efficient, particularly for cooking as well as heating, which is why we believe, you know, the minister has set LPG as one of the interventions that need to be made in the energy sector. It is cleaner burning, and therefore it is, of course, in this year of COP17, this is something that we should be embracing. And one of the things that we have seen, Chairperson, is that there is an appetite from the people of South Africa for switching, and even switching at their own cost. But the current challenges, Chairperson, are destroying that appetite. There are supply chain issues that exist, and I think these need to come out today and not on any other day. Where there are policy gaps, I think also would expect those to come out today. The current challenges, Chairperson, are not only affecting the South African population and industry. They're also affecting our neighbors. And we believe that the countries, some of the countries in the region may begin to take steps that will have an impact, long-term impact, on the South African producers of LPG, because they will be looking for alternative sources. And therefore, we would lose that market and the, you know, capacity to create then the jobs in the country. One of the things that I'd like to indicate, Chairperson, today is that the existing infrastructure cannot meet the demand. That is a fact. The existing infrastructure cannot meet the demand. Secondly, Chairperson, from where we sit as the Department of Energy, refinery reliability is an issue. We can obfuscate and come up with all manner of other excuses, but what we are seeing, evidence, is that refinery reliability is an issue, and it is understated. What do we need to do? We believe that there is a need for import infrastructure in this regard. And for that, once again, we believe that the port authorities must come to the LPG party. And they need to come sooner rather than later. We need a decision that is going to support the investment in import infrastructure for LPG in this country. The other issue that I'd like to raise is, given all these challenges about refinery reliability, we believe as a department that there is no running away from the need for new refining capacity in this country. A lot is being said about the availability of petroleum products globally. But of course, we need to produce some of the components, which I believe the industry players will talk to. And these, it's not necessary for us to be importing them. So I want to put it on record that as a department, we believe that there is a need for new refining capacity in this country. There is a lot, Chairperson, of second guessing. we need to be allowed as a department to advise and also to lead the energy trajectory. Yes, of course, inputs are important, but I think time has come now for the second guessing to come to a stop. The issue of the jet fuel, Chairperson, just to touch on that, there is a challenge there as well. I think there's no doubt about that. There's a challenge. But I believe that, a solution there will come quicker than perhaps the issue that we're dealing with today. And therefore, I believe that the current situation that obtains at OR Tambo is a temporary situation, and it's only affecting that effort, and moves are in place to actually change that around. So, however, I cannot say the same with confidence on the LPG. With that, Chairperson, I'll hand over to Mr. Thank you.
Just before,
Mr.
Welcome, DG. Just the Minister and Deputy Minister has apologized. They will join us. They are just in cabinet committees that is still going on since this morning. But they will join us as soon as they are done with the cabinet committees. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chair and members of the Select Committee. Good afternoon, everybody. I would just go through this presentation rather a bit quicker because I anticipate that other presentations also cover certain aspects that have already been addressed to. Moreover, I would say that what the DDG has just gone through is more of an overview of what this presentation is about. So I don't want to hold you for long in this presentation. I'll just look at the issues of the supply and demand situation, then the retail price regulation, then the update on the pilot project, the LPG strategy, and look at the way forward. The demand from our side is that the demand varies on a month-to-month basis, mainly due to unplanned shutdowns and also limited imports or import capacity. In terms of the demand sectors, LPG is used from a manufacturing side of things as well as the hospitality industry, as well as the restaurants that are complaining that their businesses are set to close or they are suffering loss because of a shortage of LPG. We also have got households that are using LPG, and this is the market that we are targeting in terms of also expanding the LPG market in the country. And by way of also part of it being the regulation of the price of LPG for household customers. With regard to licensing, we also note that there is a difficulty to monitor and enforce compliance with safety standards because LPG retailers are not necessarily licensed from the side. The LPG that we have, in fact, LPG supply has been noted as a challenge even in all our initiatives because we've got the 6 refineries that are producing LPG. Note them through here, and also we've got import facilities that you can get through Devon, Port Elizabeth, as well as Richards Bay. In terms of the LPG imports, the normal ship load that can deliver cargo is about 2,500 tons, and then APROX has got import facilities that have leased from Island View, and the working capacity is about 3,500 tons. The challenge there is that the throughput is about 200 tons per day. So they are also investigating to see if they can't use the rail option to increase the throughput. Because you can have a big tank, but if you cannot draw quickly out of the tank, you are still left constrained because the rate at which you are going to supply the market is thereby limited. Then we've got EasyGas, which can also import via Port Elizabeth. The facilities there are owned by Shell, which has got 2 spheres of 800 tons. Making it 1,600 tons. Via Devon can be imported via the separate facilities, which is part and parcel of the final facilities there, with a capacity of 1,000 tons, where you've got got the East London facility, which has since been mothballed. So it's a big old one, but it had far less capacity. In Sardana, the once was a situation where there was loading from ship to road operation, and that posed safety and operational concerns. I just want to also to note that in terms of NERSA, they awarded a license for an import facility in Sardana Bay, but they still need to go through the process of TNPA approval too. So the issue of alignment among industry players like the DOE, Transnet, and NERSA in terms of from a policy end to have that cohesive approach is important. We note then that there are inadequate import facilities. There are throughput challenges with existing infrastructure. And also, we note the issue of seasonality, because we had seen the issue of seasonality as a benefit to us in the Southern Hemisphere, because we're saying that when it's winter period, we've got a higher demand of LPG, and the Northern Hemisphere doesn't have that much demand because it's summer on their side. So, but that becomes a problem when, during our summer here, we have shortages, because there, winter kicks in and demand increases, and you find that most of the cargo is designed for Europe instead of getting it to South Africa. The shortages, as I've said, we note that they occur every winter due to high demand and our limited supply sources here. And we note also that in terms of the, even if you look at the spec, because what happens is that LPG makes the lighter component of petrol, so it can still go into petrol. So during winter, you can, because of the office specification, you can have more of it going there, that route too. And therefore, you always find that there are shortages. And you find that there are refinery shutdowns that are also causing problems, more so when you've got unplanned shutdowns. Currently, as we speak, we've got Petro SA, which is on an unplanned shutdown, and we're told that it's going to be back mid-November. And then the engine refinery in Durban is on a scheduled maintenance shutdown. That shutdown was unfortunately brought forward due to a fire accident on the plant. Hence the issue of also the reliability of or integrity of our refineries needs to be looked into. Sapref also went for a shutdown, and then it was supposed to come back online, couldn't get the startup working as planned, and as a result, we've got a 14-day shutdown that is due to technical problems in their hydro cracking unit, which is at the front end of the refinery. Therefore, they are operating at about 50% LPG production rate at best at the moment. These frequent shutdowns, as I've said, unplanned shutdowns, they talk to the issue of infrastructure integrity. I know sometimes when we talk of the old South African refineries and the fact that we are in a very precarious situation when it comes to supply, that any disturbance is quickly felt by the market because of the supply-demand balance. The demand has outstripped our domestic supply. I understand that sometimes the argument is that these refineries have been maintained such that you end up having almost a new tank instead of an old tank as you maintain them every year. But this still is something that still needs to be looked into. And then the need for investment in refining infrastructure and maintenance thereof, which talks to the first issue. That we have noticed also that there is failure to bring units back online as planned most of the time, especially when coming back from a shutdown. Even the incident of 2005 was also partly due to shutdowns that were planned, and then the startup took longer than expected. And then the accidents and equipment failures, they result in unplanned shutdown depending on how critical that process to the process involved equipment is. Sometimes we put delayed startups or thrown forward a shutdown. Then, in this case, as I've said, we've got an unusual situation that we've got a shortage in spring and summer, I mean, spring going to summer, which then poses a challenge in terms of even getting the import. The importation of LPG is the primary solution that we have not known. Notice. That is why when we look at the fact that even if these refineries were to produce at best, I mean like in terms of LPG, we'll still be having a challenge to satisfy the demand from domestic supply. Hence, we also are looking plan that we've had is the very execution according to those plans, where you find that you've got a facility plan, but it doesn't work. And then we do get the monthly updates that are alluded to, which we then consolidate to have one schedule. But the problem is that what we encounter is that it's going to get an unplanned shutdown corresponding with a planned shutdown. Wait for this coincidence. It just aggravates the situation. We also got regular supply meetings chaired by the department, mainly comprising SAPIA members and transmen. We have also been very supportive to the industry in terms of the industry being able to get the conditional exemption by the Competition Commission so that they can be able to discuss collectively and be able to resolve the problem. So I think with that, it's also part of ensuring that we cooperate, because we are not doing things in the spirit of pointing fingers at each other, but in terms of being able to find solutions. So there are also joint meetings between the department and the industry, and we focus on a product type as per need because of the interconnectedness of product type. For example, we had a situation where the problem of jet fuel in Oatambo, only to find that we then had to switch and use the pipeline to ship the product to Oatambo. But the challenge, you find that there is no product, other product, to push the slug up. So the interconnectedness of all these products. We talk about jet. When we want to solve a problem of jet, we're going to impact on diesel and vice versa. And then we also have got regular, what we call logistical planning team meetings, which are more operational, where there is most of the time it's just a teleconferencing with the supply managers of individual companies. The challenge is that we have seen, and the department is also posing a challenge, that there is lack of sanctions to those who fail to supply, other than the normal financial losses due to lost sales and associated losses. The probability of a non-supplying company negotiating hard with the others for own optimal financial situation at the expense of the overall product supply to the market is also a reality that you cannot rule out. As I've said, the contingency plans that we have, sometimes the challenge is in executing them, because as a department we rely on the information being supplied to us by the industry. So one of the things that is which we've seen as important is need to be frustrated to explore possibilities of imposing sanctions through revision of licensing conditions, because these entities are licensed operators. The frequency of unplanned shutdowns, they aggravate the situation when coinciding with other shutdowns. The low refining margins, we just put a question mark, because this is where the industry will say, also say, our margins are very low to be able to upgrade our facilities. These are some of the things, as well as SPG not being a main product for them. As we're also looking at the situation of how to work with the industry to make sure that they can, instead of letting those molecules of SPG go into petrol, to let them flow into the stream of SPG. And then the demand supply imbalance. I think in this instance, we find ourselves as a government is in a very unenviable position, where it's more like you need to coerce the oil companies to do what they are naturally supposed to do, because they are in business here to sell their product. But at the end of the day, you need to be able to try to persuade to say, please operate the way that you need to operate. So it's a very awkward position, and which then for me says we need to look at the additional refining capacity, as the DDG has alluded to that. I'm not speaking to that effect only with regard to LPG, because with LPG even then we are going to be limited. But I'm talking now when it comes to all the product ranges. And the other thing that we've seen even now is the difficulty of managing imports. Because delays can be due to inclement weather, and then with that there are also congestion and or in terms of scheduling at the port, then there are high demurrage costs that the industry players have to pay, and the supply shortages as a result, as well as the fact that we do have inadequate import facilities. So I've heard also of the industry saying let's move more to the import position. But that poses its own challenges. It's new. Those challenges are kind of new in terms of dealing with those imports at a large scale. So, as I've said, that investment in domestic
I'm falling asleep just to wake you up.
Okay. And then, as I said, as I said, in terms of the drainage and plan for a shutdown, I said about Petro SA and Rep and Sapre. In terms of imports, Afrox have imported 7 kilotons, of which 3.5 kilotons arrived last Wednesday, and the balance is due from the 20th to the 30th of November. EasyJet has imported 5 kilotons, of which 2.5 arrived last Friday, and the balance is expected this week. As I've said, the challenge in terms of the winter demand in Europe. The department led coordinated response into your company policy plan and regular NPT meeting that I've said in terms of managing the current supply situation. In terms of the refinery, the maximum refinery gate price that you have said you want to revise, we have progressed in terms of doing the international price reviews and research in terms of the pricing regime in various jurisdictions. And we are going to have a stakeholder workshop on the 10th of November to gather further input and then be able to do to verify the losses in terms of importing. Because we think that if we are able to review the MRTP, it will then go on in terms of the pricing build-up, it will naturally lead to the revision of the maximum retail price. And it's also going to encourage new investment in the LPG sector. In terms of the transformation, there are twofold in terms of problems in terms of this LPG industry. There is also structurally based on the value chain itself, where you find that the manufacturers have got these wholesalers, and it's difficult in terms of that to be able to bring new players there. And the participants, in terms of broad-based economic empowerment, then in terms of the target, it is not assisted at all due to this vertical integration and then the control and being having a few companies that really have got a stronghold in this sector. We are also developing an LPG strategy. We had to rush and do the regulation of the price because of the situation that we found ourselves in, but at the same time we're going on with the LPG strategy. The strategy aims to provide access to safer, cleaner, efficient, portable, environmental cleaning and affordable thermal fuel for all households. And LPG, we've identified it as the most efficient fuel for household thermal purposes, which is going to help in terms of switching people from using coal in their houses, paraffin environment, to use LPG. I think the rest people can also speak for themselves and we can move quickly. In terms of strategic intervention, we want to develop a supply structure that to ensure that there is open access to import infrastructure, part of ensuring that we do get LPG supply to the country. And then the licensing regime will also have to look at that to regulate prices and enforce safety. And then to combat uncompetitive behavior. Because with the LPG industry, the other big problem that they have is around the issue of the holding of cylinders, which is an uncompetitive behavior, and I'm glad I saw some colleagues from the Competition Commission here today. The other issue is vertical integration of the supply chain, which I've already alluded to. The local production of cylinders is also one of the things that we need to promote, based also from the creation of sustainable jobs for South Africa. In terms of the way forward from our side is the conclusion of the MRGP review, the conclusion of the Department of Energy's strategy, which will contextualize and fit the pieces of the puzzle together and create also policy cohesion as well as promote infrastructure development, because that infrastructure is just going to be hot air in terms of what we are promising. And then we need also to closely work with the LPG industry stakeholders to address supply challenges. These include Transnet Limited, and TNPA in particular, for infrastructure in the port. And then we need to work together also to explore possible interventions for the betterment of the situation that the industry is currently in. With that, Gary.
Thank you.
So, I really would like to know, and then there's the amount of money value of expenditure on the BEE and SMEs per year energy regulation. It's 933 million. So far, you've only spent 18 million. So, can you just clarify us those issues? Why is this thing happening? Because this is the year of job creation. We are already at the end of this year. Year's finished. We need to create sustainable jobs. We need to develop the people in this country. And if you spend the way you spend here, I don't think you can reach your target by the end of this year. Concerning what I just said, this is for the energy. And this was only according to the adjusted budget summary. So, thank you, Chair.
Or delayed decision making.
issue, there is a missing link. How do we address this issue? The department facilitating this, because it rests now on the department, because we can talk here today, but the person who has got the infrastructure is president. How do we address this issue and actually give time frame to this issue? Thanks.
Baba Mbuni.
Chair, I just forgot the last question to say the unplanned shutdowns. Mr. Makubela, when reading between the lines, it's just that the industry has got some strategy perhaps to drag its feet, not to supply. Is it perhaps a strategy from the industry to have these unplanned shutdowns in a way as to escalate demand and increase prices? Perhaps the Competition Commission can help us in that way.
Thank you very much. DDG, over to you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, honorable members. For those questions that I do not respond to, I think my colleague, Ms. Mkhize, will add on. But I just want to start with the first question on the inspections and so on. I think on those, Chairperson would need to perhaps come back with because there is an explanation to each of those. And one of that is related to resources, financial resources, because we have indicated before to the I think to both committees, the select committee as well as the portfolio committee, that with the current resources, there are certain things we'll have to scale down on in terms of numbers, but then increase in terms of the quality of each of those interventions that we make. But I would request that in particular on the electricity one, come back with those questions or answers to those questions. I think there is a conversation, Chair, if I move on to LPG, there's a conversation that we need to have on the meaning of energy security. There's a conversation that we're lacking, and that is the conversation of what does energy security mean in the whole country. I think that conversation as a country we need to have, because it will begin to say if you are going to have energy security, you are going to have to line up a few things. One is infrastructure. It's got to be there. You have to have security. You have to have insurance, you know, like you do with the insurance of any asset that you have. to look at now incentivizing production of LPG through the MRPP review. The second guessing issue, I think it talks to perhaps the not, it's not an industry issue, Chairperson. The second guessing occurs in a number of forums. I don't believe that necessarily a liquid fuels industry issue. But people always try and protect
down, they said the challenges there. I just want to read one challenge to you, and then the answer, then I want to put the question. He said, is the lack of sanctions to those who fail to supply, other than the normal financial losses due to the lost sales and associated losses? Then Red said, exploring possibility of imposing sanctions through revision of licensing conditions. Just clear that for me, because what are you saying? You say there's a lack of sanctions, and then you say, you know the problem. You say there's a lack of sanctions, and then you said exploring the possibility. Explain that to us, please, because if you have a plan, whatever challenge there is, the challenge must be part of your plan, and you need to implement to overcome the challenge, and you need to know how do I implement this to overcome this. Thank you.
No, thank you very much. I think if I can just start by saying our point of departure as a department is in terms of regulation is to not to start by being punitive. That's where we, you know, that's the norm. And we prefer to one, communicate issues in such a manner that it becomes obvious that there must be a response. And punitive measures really become the last resort. But at the same time, we also are saying that what punitive measures would you then look at if the equipment is unable to actually deliver what is required. It's equipment failure. And if there's equipment failure because of metal fatigue, you know, because of the age of that facility, then perhaps you need to be looking at alternatives. And those are the alternatives that we're looking at to say, okay, perhaps these facilities have gone as far as they can go. What we need to be looking at now is to import. But of course, Mr. Mkhize is responsible for policy. And I think what he is indicating that it is still a possibility that, you know, that can be explored. And it's just exploring. Have we looked at all the regulatory measures, and is there anything else that we've left out? And I think that is what you know, we are busy doing. But again, as I say, the point is here, there are unplanned shutdowns, and they really are the cause of where we are. If we didn't have, I don't think that there was a willing or there was an intentional decision on the part of the producers, basically, to cause equipment failure, fires, and so on. We just find ourselves here, but we won't stop exploring to look at maybe we are missing something. I don't know if you want to add to that.
Thanks. I think with regard to that, it's also that we understand that the industry is in it for profit. So normally when you've got a shutdown, I mean, you lose, and there would be that we were thinking that on even on its own, it should be enough disincentive for any negligence or whatever problems that would lead you shutting down the plant. So if we see things that still going on when there is already an existing disincentive, that is to look and see what other measures we can put there in place to bring even more disincentive, or because we are moving to the area of the say definitely this is what we're going to do. I think also it's going to help later on when we also get presentation from the industry itself. Thank you.
I also just want to say that the scale of the shortages sometimes gets to us after, you know, when it's really widespread, because we don't see the contracts, for example, between whoever is being supplied and the producer. So when a producer declares an inability to supply, we are actually the last ones to hear about that, because sometimes they target certain industries or customers. Now, one of the things that we are going to be looking into, that I can say for sure, is that whenever a force majeure is being declared, this is what we are exploring, and this one definitely we are going to be implementing. Whenever it is being declared on any customer, we need to know. If it's related to production, that the department must know. I think that is one area that they identified that was going to be. So that if the restaurants are not being supplied and have been sacrificed because the vehicle manufacturers are being supplied, we need to know so that you know, we can then plan on what to do, not come at the tail end. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I think, with due respect, the department is missing a point here. Shutdowns are reality. If it's in energy, electricity, or gas, or whatever, it's a reality. It's a part of the daily occurrence of doing business. The point that we must get after we come out of this crisis, how do we manage that buffer? That is the critical issue. How do we manage that buffer between what we can call the baseline
know, over and above whatever port strategy, you know, what the port strategy is looking at, or you try and achieve alignment there. But the second thing is quite a complex matter, Chairperson, and would require quite a lengthy discussion. For example, there are strong views that we should be importing and not building refineries in this country. That's the second thing. The department is saying we should build refineries. A lot of players are saying there's a lot of imports globally. Let's be an import destination. We are not convinced as the policy department that we should be an import destination, particularly when we are so far removed from those refining centers that people are talking about, particularly when there are vulnerabilities of security with the pirating and all of that, with the number of ships that bring refined products are more vulnerable than actually one cargo of crude oil that comes to the country over, or in fact that comes occasionally to the country. But also you can get crude oil from closer to our border in Angola and West Africa for that matter, in which case then you are not exposed to the East Africa security concerns around pirates. Thank you, Chair.
Angogunda?
Chair, I really don't understand the DDG. He talks about a complex issue, he talks about a role in many companies, a solution of medium term and long term, saying we are not going to be an import, we can get the things from Angola and West Africa, it will be easy. The question that we need, that you need to answer to us, the other people are here that bring, that are part of you, that assist you to get the gas and all this, the people are here. Yes, we know transit and the people of the ports are not here, that we know. But the question still remains, what are the department going to do now in this crisis? That's the question that we need to answer.
I hear what you are saying, Honorable Kunda, but I think we should also let the industry, the refineries, the guys that's got the product and that imports the product and that has the product, that delivers the product, let's find out from them as well. And then I think we'll get to a clear picture if you will allow us to do that process. Is that fine? Thanks, Honorable Kunda. Ladies and gentlemen, I see on the program we have done with our open discussion. Is NAMSA ready?
Yes, we are.
Are you ready? Mr. Morota, are you presenting from there, or?
I can sit here as long as I can get the slide up. Sure, I can sit there, that's fine.
I've got a request from Kaya Gas. Are there any other people that's not on the list that wants to make an input? Please let the secretary know so that we can recognize you and you can then carry on with the input. We can then give you
the umbrella organization that deals with the automotive sector in the country, for the opportunity to be able to present some of the issues that we face with the shortage of LPG and perhaps the impact on all of us jointly as we grapple with the issue. Suffice to say that as I was listening to the Department of Energy, the DDG in particular, that in fact most of what I've covered in the slide, you know, it seems that the department already knows and are aware of some of the issues. And so it's going to make my job quite easier then in terms of the presentation, because some of the issues you have already had. I think that assists us in that there is an appreciation by the department of the causes in particular of the shortage. Perhaps what is not been said, and they wouldn't be able to know that, is the impact that it would have on us. And perhaps I should focus rather more mainly on that. Now on the slide you'll see that the OEMs that are mainly affected and the others are different in that the ones that are inland, for instance, Mercedes-Benz, Toyota and Nissan are serviced by different, you know, by Sasol, which is somehow are able to secure safety of supply to them. So we, the ones that are based in the Eastern Cape, are mainly affected in that we do source our supply from Petro-SA. And of course, we are a very high volume user of LPG, as well as propane, but I think the focus is on LPG now. We are the hub, once more, of catalytic converter industry. And of course, the shortage of LPG for us is very concerning. And it's very simple to explain that, because if you get into a factory or shop floor where manufacturing plant where catalytic converters are made, in particular the ceramic substrate that is made there from platinum group metals and so forth, some of the ovens, some of the things that have to be kept on for 24 hours, 24/7, so the LPG therefore becomes very critical for that. Once you switch that off, you may as well close maybe the entire month, because it needs to cool down completely, and whatever was in there needs to then be thrown out. So you're looking at very serious costs. Now, of course, we know that in July and August this year, there were shortages, serious shortages, as the DOE has been able to pick up on, which, you know, caused delays due to the diversion and additional transit time and so forth. NAMSA ourselves and the component suppliers, you know, NACAM, as well as the catalytic converter industry group, CCIG, escalated that problem to the DTI and the DOE, and we're quite happy to, you know, to report that there was some sort of interaction at that level. And I recall, as I recall, at that point there was measures that were taken by Petro-SA to try to, you know, either prioritize supply to those critically affected and so forth. But of course, an argument could be made that perhaps the downstream people who are not prioritized at that stage also get affected. But at least we're happy that there was some interaction to save industry and to be able to give direction accordingly. The issue, however, still remains that multinational companies and for instance, even though I'm representing NAMSA here, I work for General Motors. One of the main things that we do in catalytic converters, you know, when you've got investments in there, you're not able to secure sector of supply, you start having questions from your parent companies overseas, you start saying, but, you know, how can we be sure that we can actually keep on investing in infrastructure with you guys, because you're not able to then have security. So there's massive deficits that happen in terms of trust, in terms of securing further investment and so forth based on the inability to secure supply thereof. Of course, we now know, and the DOE has also acknowledged in October, and even at the current period, there's a certain situation where four refineries in our accounts have been down for extended periods due to scheduled and unscheduled maintenance. And of course, DOE has acknowledged what problem that creates for us, because then, without knowing, you are now down, and as I said, you've got this oven in catalytic converters that is on. You cannot continue making that, and therefore the vicious cycles begin again. And once more, as NAMSA, NACAM, and CCIG, as a group, has collected concerns to DTI and DME. Now, as I said, the multinational companies that have made investments on catalytic converters in particular are very worried about that. And you start looking at a lack of commitment by most of them to make further future investments, either in sourcing business here or bringing business here, because they'd rather go to other countries, for instance, China, where there's no such threat. Now, one of the issues that we have, and I've debated this largely with Sapia, and we agree on some of the principles, is the pricing issue. Some of our members say, look, the pricing, if it includes shortages here and then you start looking at importing, then the price is already a premium, then you've got a problem, you know, in that your pricing is at a premium. But others then say, well, the price is so low that you're not incentivized to actually produce more here. And the question that was asked by an honorable member earlier on about the price issue, we are not able to comment authoritatively on how price determines or not determine the supply or not on this, but of course some of our members experience it in both ways. Some are saying we are at a premium, globally uncompetitive, people don't want to buy here because it's just not sustainable. Others are saying, well, the refineries are not incentivized because the pricing is low. And so perhaps a study perhaps can be found to just conclusively answer that question. The issue of infrastructure was also raised by the DOE. We feel that perhaps there should be plans, and we're glad to hear there could well be plans sometime in the future for new refineries, perhaps. That is the policy direction. But of course, when the infrastructure is aged, the need for shutdowns implies obvious facilities that you're going to need to, at some point, shut down in order to maintain, and of course, the obvious consequences for us. One of the things that the Department of Trade and Industry is speaking about, the issue of automotive production development program, where we, South African automotive OEMs, can produce up to 1.2 million vehicles per annum. Now, with that reality, and that being the policy direction of the Department of Trade and Industry, you then now have an issue that in the automotive industry, there's going to be an increased demand for LPG, because then we rely on all of that in order to make the vehicles. This increasing demand is going to then imply, that if you have continuing LPG problems, then we're not going to meet the objectives of the APDP and the production volumes that you want to look at. So that's a very serious issue. Let me speak then about the current business impact. I've already mentioned the issue of investor confidence, what it means for most of the multinational, most of the OEMs in South Africa are foreign-owned, multinational-owned, and so the issue then is similar to all of us, Mercedes, General Motors, BMW, and so forth, Toyota, on the same concerns. So I think I've said enough about that. But of course, there are some of our companies that have used, and because of this problem, trying to manage, for instance, Corning, one of the suppliers of or the manufacturers of extrusion, cutting converters, speaks about they've had to switch from propane to LPG. I would have thought it would be the other way around, in order to just to try to manage the situation. But of course, that means reduced efficiency for them, longer cycle times, and thereby once more for them reducing global competitiveness. But then there are other companies within the group elsewhere do not have to deal with those problems. Now, as I said, the switch to importation means you are now looking at premium costs, port issues that come in when you bring the imported LPG in. You've got congestion, as mentioned, and so premium cost ranges from between 6 to 15%, in some cases going to up to 3 times the normal going rate. That's how expensive you're looking at, and therefore you're not able to then have sustainable pricing on that. LPG stock levels dropped at average 35% of demand, and at times dropped to below 10%. So you now start having a serious problem, and then of course you start having to try to prioritize your purchases or your customers accordingly. That's a problem, because as I said, downstream you have the supply chain, which is not sustainable. Now, just talking about production and lost production, what it means to close a plant at any point in time, because you don't have LPG. You're looking at, in one day, 400 man hours. That's a lot of hours. And in some cases, up to 15% of production. Now, if you look at certain bottom lines of most of OEMs, 15% is a big, big amount of money. Now, I spoke about freight costs and all, so let's leave that. The Department of Trade and Industry is talking to CatCon suppliers about increased investment in local substrate extrusion. In order to do substrate extrusion, you need LPG. Once more, again, it becomes a vicious cycle. You're not able to then convince any of your parent companies to invest here, to bring business here, because they say, but you guys have got shortage all the time, so how do we make sure that we can do this thing? So you then have a serious problem there that you encounter. Now, in conclusion, perhaps, honorable members, Chairperson, we have said that we've tried to demonstrate in this presentation that ongoing shortages of LPG does impact negatively on business confidence, investments, exports, and jobs, because at the end of the day, if you cannot bring business here, we cannot then create any jobs, and we think that that's critical Competition Commission is here. I know that recently there has been a relaxation on whether you know some of the refineries and some of the suppliers can actually compare notes from time to time, and as far as knowing when shutdowns can be scheduled and then in order to plan accordingly. And of course, that would mean that suppliers are, or customers are able to then also plan their own or put their house in order as well. Perhaps also an identified need for a forum of scarce suppliers and refineries in order to improve future supply and ensure security of supply. And also improved communication perhaps amongst those stakeholders in order to make sure that, we all know what is happening. You know, lack of information here, we feel is one of the issues which causes some of this, because with information then you're able to then plan accordingly. So perhaps a forum, you know, of guest suppliers and refineries can be put in place in order to be able to speak to these issues. Chairperson, I think I'll stop there and perhaps take any questions in there.
Members, are there questions for clarity or answers that you see? Nothing. I've started Kaya Gas on the program. If you are ready, you can give us a presentation. Also, the other thing is, in terms of the rules, no person is allowed to converse on the cell phone in a committee meeting. And for that, the secretary brings to my attention that we see you, you'll be fined. And believe me, you'll be fined very heavily in this committee for talking on a cell phone. The rule that Honorable St. Clair and Gunda has made, it is 50% of your salary. So we won't. I guess.
I can easily circulate the problem, which we've discussed at length, is refinery problems. Import capacity is very limited, and storage is very limited. And I think introducing this point of storage, if the honourable member there was raising the issue of buffer, and I think there are some very readily available and not particularly expensive solutions to that buffer issue. I think that just to touch for a moment on the potential of LPG, it is our view, and we've had independent economic research to verify this, that within the next 3 to 5 years, LPG could replace electricity for thermal applications in those, as we discussed earlier. LPG is already 30% cheaper than electricity, and it will get even cheaper as the electricity price increases. Of course, these supply disruptions do cause some problems in prices as it becomes expensive to move product around the country. But to put it in context, LPG at a tiny fraction of the price could replace one Medupi power station, or one Medupi size power station. LPG would be a quick change to CO2 emissions. I think that was touched on by Mr. Marcovella. It is in carbon sequestration terms, low hanging fruit, which should be picked as quickly as possible. And LPG can replace paraffin in low-income homes. It is safer, clean, and a modern fuel. Paraffin is not. And then the surplus paraffin could reduce the pressure on the jet fuel supply situation because both paraffin and jet fuel come from the same cut in the barrel. I say this with great authority because we, as Cairngas, already supply gas to 70,000 low-income homes in the townships of Cape Town. We are now the only LPG supplier in the 5 kg market, the low-income market, and that is some 300,000 people in Greater Cape Town depend on us to cook their food. I'm going to skip through a discussion of the refinery problems. These have been well covered. But to say that whatever happens, LPG, the refineries are not going to be able to cover LPG demand. I have developed LPG businesses in China and in Poland at that time for BP, and I can tell you that this market will grow by 3 or 4 times its current size in a very short space of time. If it follows the international model, the refineries are never going to keep up with that. It's imports that are going to have to be ultimately be the main supply of LPG to this country. As they become the main supply, the insecurity of refinery production will become less of an issue. So I won't go through the rest of the details there, and I think Mr. Marcovella also covered the existing import capacity, but I think that just the point about storage capacity is a major issue. In midwinter, Gauteng is running on less than 1 day stock. You get a batch problem. You know, let's say an off-spec batch at the refinery, and that starts causing ripples right through your market because there's immediate shortage. So clearly, we've got to solve the storage issue as well as the refinery issue. All right, I'm going to skip through this. Other than to say that I think that companies like Cairngas are reliable partners in developing this. The existing players, main players in the industry, have shown a track record of not cooperating well with government. I point here to a MOU signed at the time by the Minister of Energy when Mrs. Phumzile Mlungu was the Minister of Energy. An MOU which the industry simply chose to ignore. So I think that the government needs to look past the existing players to reliable, and I'm not talking about refiners now, I'm talking about LP, I'm talking about gas companies, looks to if they're looking for levels of that you need to get through to get a to build a facility, an import facility. You need a wholesale license. You need a facilities license in terms of the Pipeline Act. You need import permits. You need environmental assessments. You need the National Ports Authority concessions, and you need marine safety concessions. All of these, in addition, I've not mentioned the local government requirements such as major hazard installations. All of these are set up in such an open way. If we look at this, viewed individually, each of these regulations is a fine piece of regulation. But why is it so difficult? And I think the answer is the strategy that the department is developing, and which I, from my knowledge of it so far, seems to be a fine piece of work, needs to be broadly accepted across governments so that the various parts of government can be singing from the same hymn sheet, as it were. The combinations of all of these regulations really hamstrings development, particularly for companies like ourselves. And the lack of coordination between the various spheres of government and government entities. We've seen now what's been happening in Saldanha Bay. Until very recently, there's been the National Ports Authority has been the major impediment. Our company first applied to build an import terminal in the Cape in anticipation of these very shortages in 2004. We finally submitted a tender in February 2005, which sat there for 18 months and then was withdrawn and replaced with another tender. We then started discussions with the port of Saldanha Bay in 2007, and in January 2008 we formally submitted our application. We've been working with one of the partners in Sunrise Energy, which is now the leading contender there, but it has taken four years for that application to be considered. Had it taken a normal amount of time, let's say 6 months, or even a year, we would today have import capacity in Saldanha Bay, and we wouldn't be sitting here talking about LPG crises today. So I think we've got to see this in real context. The good intentions of all of these regulations are clearly there, and many of them are absolutely necessary. But as they combine, and with the competing and sometimes divergent interests of the various elements of government and government entities, we cannot move them. It becomes an intractable situation. And then the other matter here is that the way that these processes are so structured, their openness, the very openness that many of us fought for in what we want our government to be, is the basis on which these things can be hijacked by vested interests. And here I'm particularly talking about the EIA requirements. You can get a particularly vested interest. As an example, I'm not saying that this is happening, but as an example, it may be that a competitor will fund, let's say, the Longobarn Ichthyologist Society to continually object because of the condition of the Witstompnius, and it can drag out of an EIA for 3 years. I mean, the Darling Wind Farm had an EIA that lasted 7 years because a dairy farmer was concerned about the impact of the wind turbines on the milk production of his cows, and the effect on migratory bird patterns. So, eventually it was approved, but that took 7 years. So you can understand that there are good environmental regulations, and nobody wants to see a situation where the environment is damaged. But we've also got to understand that we must have a system which doesn't allow itself to be hijacked by narrow vested interests. scheduled shutdown in late February and March. We're planning an import then. And we will be then running import programs all the way through winter at Saldanha Bay. And we're using, unfortunately, it is more expensive, but we're using the ship as storage. So we're having extended layovers so that we've got effectively 4,000 tons of storage at the harbour. And this will, I believe, in the short term and in the medium term until the main terminals are built and running, carry the industry through in this part of the country. And indeed, you know, in other places when their refineries fall over. My last slide has malfunctioned. Sorry to say, but it's my most important, so I'll just... our view is the finalization of this national strategy and giving support to the Department of Energy is a critical priority to enable the various elements of government to focus around it. And I think, you know, really hats off to the Department of Energy for this document, which I think is very well thought out and deals with many of the issues. I think you can see from the briefing that you got from the department earlier today, they are fully appraised of the issues, at least those that pertain to policy issues, which of course is their domain. The next issue is to build two import terminals, one in Richards Bay and one in Saldanha Bay. Two new terminals. We have, as a company, have been working on both options, this is really important. The idea here is that those facilities must be big enough to bring in large vessels. Just to illustrate, if you were to bring a 40,000 ton vessel, which is the standard size for vessels moving large volumes of LPG from Saudi Arabia to here, it would cost you $30 to $35 a ton. To bring in a 2,000 ton vessel from the same distance would cost you 10 times as much. So how much ullage or how much tankage you have at your import facility directly affects the price that you can land your product at. So we need to move quickly to build a large import facility in Richards Bay. This facility will then break bulk and supply in small vessels LPG from Dar es Salaam all the way around to Cape Town and the Indian Ocean Islands, basically supplying, becoming the primary bulk breaking, LPG bulk breaking facility for the South Indian Ocean. This is a really big priority. Of course, building a slightly oversized facility in Saldanha Bay is also important for two reasons. Firstly, because it provides a strategic storage for a very important market in South Africa, but also it gives you the possibility to import product from the west coast of Africa and enable you, and in doing that, enable you to keep the local refiners and particularly the bulk breaking terminal in Richards Bay honest, because you've always got a second option. Cape Town sits on the cusp between the east of Suez market, which is goes with a Saudi pricing, and west of Suez, which goes off either Mount Bellevue or a Sonatrach, which is the Algerian gas company pricing. The next step is to build an inland storage for LPG in Gauteng. We have identified a site as our company, which will enable us to store 20 to 30,000 tons of LPG in Gauteng, which will then provide the stability, because it's all good and well to use your import facilities to provide the buffer stocks along the coast, and they will do that, and they will be very effective at that, but it still leaves you exposed in the inland market. So you need something to protect the economic heart of the country in Gauteng, and we have such a facility. Of course, it will take some time to build, but you know, some years, and given all the regulatory hurdles that one has to jump, perhaps that is something that the department could help us with by providing us with a red tape buster that could help us through the red tape. registered filler. So this is a really critical issue from an investment point of view to grow the LPG industry, but also from a safety point of view. And I think Mr. Dennis Herold may have something to say about this as well. I certainly think he would agree with me on this particular point. And then I think finally, there needs to be an initiative to provide poor households with an incentive to switch to LPG. Now, Eskom developed a very effective model. Unfortunately, that was hampered at that time in 2006 by the supply problem once again because the refineries falling down. But it is a well thought out program that would see poor households receive a gas stove in exchange for an electric stove. This has a big impact on poverty alleviation and provides them with a cheaper alternative than electricity. It also ticks other boxes, policy boxes, which is moving, reducing pressure on the electricity grid and the generating capacity. And a point that I've left off here, but I think is also something I should have perhaps put on there, which is there needs to be an upgrade of Transnet's rolling stock, LPG rail tank car rolling stock. I think that's another critical element. And if those things are done, we will have a LPG industry that can really serve this country, can save 4 gigawatts of generating capacity for electricity, provide a cheaper fuel than LPG than electricity to households, and seed the market for natural gas, which will come as an eventual solution to bigger industrial applications. But that market needs to be there to be able to justify the investment in the natural gas reticulation infrastructure. Thank you.
Thank you very much, I guess. Ladies and gentlemen, let's just take a 10-minute break for tea. Tea is outside. And when we come back, we'll continue with the liquid fuel, liquid petroleum gas safety association. Mr. Herold, are you ready for a presentation after this? Yes, Mr. Herold. Okay. So let's be back there about